podcast contains light-mindedness, loud laughter, evil speaking of the Lord's anointed, the taking of the name of God in vain, and every other unholy and impure practice. By listening, you may be forfeiting your temple covenants. You have been warned. I'm Reuben One Out.
And I'm Levi Lubin.
And you're listening to the Flying Spaghetti Mormon Podcast.
In our 15th episode, Bigots Will Be Bigots.
BYU-Idaho continues to treat its students like children.
And ex-Mormons get creative on Amazon. I thought they'd get creative on Etsy.
Actually, there are some really cool ex-Mormon themed products out there. I showed you the...
Like vibrators?
Oh, has anyone ever done any, like, I mean, Mormons, they have, like, crucifix dildos. What would be, like, a Mormon equivalent?
So, you know when Nephi is, like, make me so that I may shake at the appearance of evil? they should paint Nephi onto a dildo or, like, a vibrator, so he can shake at the appearance of evil.
Ooh, and when you turn him on, it, like, there's a little voice chip that says, I'm shaking at evil.
Or that he's like, don't touch me, I'll shock you. Like,
here comes the shocker.
You can get Laman and Lemuel anal beads to go with it.
Oh, God.
They have their faces on there, and they just have this, like, this sad look on their face. Like, oh.
Ooh, and it comes in, like, a golden plated box.
Or you could just come in a golden plated box.
I'm glad we're getting off to the right start with...
Someone's getting off.
Oh, but in all seriousness, there are a good chunk of ex-Mormon themed products. Like, there's the coffee that's Mormon themed, I think.
Oh, yeah. And it smells great.
It's great. It's great stuff. There's, like, I think people make, like, stickers or, like, little car medallions with, like, a tapir. You know, like the Jesus fish thing, but a tapir.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do get pretty creative on stuff like Etsy, too.
Yeah, so speaking of, like, enjoying sexuality, there is someone in the church, and we already knew there were people in the church who didn't, but there's someone who really doesn't. And he has supplanted Packer as the biggest bigot in the Mormon church.
Seriously.
As far as I'm concerned. And this story from the Raw story... Mormon leader, we're not bigots because there are no homosexual members of the church. Oh, I know at least five people who would beg to differ.
Yeah, so David Bednar, the Mormon church's new smug asshat in chief, now that Packer's dead, was recently kind enough to let us know that there are no homosexual members of the Mormon church.
Right, so the question he got from a church member in Chile was, how can homosexual members of the church live and remain steadfast in the gospel? Which is a legitimate question, because according to the gospel, they're not supposed to be that way, right? Let's go back to Packer. Why would God make anyone that way? And then they had to sort of change their stance, because apparently he did. So how are these people supposed to live in accordance with the principles of the gospel that says they're not supposed to be that way? And instead of answering him like, oh, well, it's going to be really shitty for you, he says... Bednar says, first I want to change the question.
Oh my God.
So that's already like, oh, well, fuck you. Your question's stupid.
That's what politicians do. Like,
exactly. It's like Bednar was at the GOP debate. He's like up there with Rubio. Like, that's not the question they asked. So he says, I want to change the question. There are no homosexual members of the church. We are not defined by sexual attraction. We are not defined by sexual behavior. We are sons and daughters of God. All of us have different challenges in the flesh. So I can appreciate, like, the idea that we're all just people, but that's not what you're saying, and that's not what the church teaches. Because as soon as you masturbate, you are blackballed. Or you watch some porn, you are blackballed. You are defined by your sexual behavior, and you are definitely defined by your sexual attraction. This is bullshit. All of what you just said is all stupid bullshit.
Exactly. And the most ironic part is, so he says, we are not defined by sexual attraction. And then he goes on
to define every fucking Mormon by their goddamn sexual attraction. Because right? He dives into the plan of happiness, which is all about having babies for eternity.
I don't understand it. Okay, so he's like, he goes on and says, it is when we act on the inclination or the attraction, that's when it becomes a sin. The elder continued, we do not discriminate and we are not bigots. Says the bigot. Like, what the? You don't get to decide if you're a bigot. You don't get to decide that.
Anytime you say, I am not a bigot, you're a bigot.
The people who are committing suicide because your church doesn't have a place for you, those are the people who get to decide if you're bigots or not. Oh, God. So then he says, we extend Christ-like love to all sons and daughters of God, which, you know, it's kind of fair because Christ-like love is pretty much like, you love me or I'll send you to hell. So that actually follows pretty closely.
Yeah.
And so what I love here is that Ross Story actually compares him now, at this point in the article, to the 2007 remarks by the then president of Iran,
yes,
Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who said, in Iran, we don't have homosexuals like in your country, when he was at Columbia University. And this level of denial, like this out-of-touch asshole who just lives at his sort of like religious delusion, his perfect little delusional castle on a hill. Oh, it's sickening.
Yeah, and I mean, when you're compared to like a theocratic dictator,
mm-hmm.
You kind of know you're doing something wrong. Like when that dictator could move to Utah and be like, oh yeah, there aren't any homosexuals here. Like you're doing something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's gross. I mean, but here's another question. How did they get rid of the gays? Because at first they were like, yes, we have, you know, and now they're saying we don't at all. There had to have been some kind of purge that happened at some point to get rid of all the gays. And I think maybe it was the carpet choice in my chapel that I used to attend. It was pretty fucking bad. I know. Like, any self-respecting gay person wouldn't step foot in that atrocity of a chapel.
Or it could be the uniform dress code with white dress shirts.
But you could at least vary your tie. Like, you can match anything with white.
True. I don't know. My vote is that I think they got purely distilled heterosexuality essence from, like, Nu Skin or doTERRA, and they put it in the sacrament water. And now nobody's gay. What? Oh, wait, shit. That wouldn't work, because if you're gay, you wouldn't have been taking the sacrament.
Right, now that's not self-defeat. Well, what's pure? What is distilled heterosexuality essence? Is it, like, bear semen? Like, I don't understand. Just have, like, an assembly line of like, bears that are hooked up to, like, machines, and it's, like, ejaculating into these tiny sacrament cups.
Oh,
God. I don't know how this is going to go. That's... We should probably call Animal Protective Services for that.
Or we could make that a thing and be millionaires.
No, man. That should...
not the bear thing. Not the bear thing. The homosexuality essence. It would be... We could do the fucking... not the thing with the water where nothing's actually in it.
Are you talking about Aqua Digio?
No, where they like stick... like the thing that does... The scientific, quote-unquote, thing where they like put... The water remembers the bad thing, and then you drink it.
Oh, no, that's not scientific.
Homotherapy. No, hydrotherapy.
Homeopathy. Homeopathy.
Yeah, we can one of those solutions for pure heterosexuality.
Look, if Elton John ever got in the ocean, that is enough. Anyone who drinks water should be gay now. If fucking homeopathy is a thing, everyone should be gay now because Elton John got in like the ocean at one
point. Wait, no, it takes time for, so, because all the water molecules have to talk, and that takes time. Oh, shit.
It's okay. Like a telephone game. It's like the molecules in the, like, the Eastern Pacific are like, Elton who? Elton Roosevelt? Like, I don't understand.
He was the first gay.
This is why we get transgender people. I understand.
But yeah, this whole gay epidemic didn't start happening in the until the last, you know, couple decades. So somebody, like, I don't know, got scientifically mutated into being gay, stepped in the ocean, and since then it's been slowly spreading to the entire world. We solved it.
We did. We should probably give Bednar a call and let him know what happened so he can fix it with his denialism.
Look at that. Flying Spaghetti Mormon solving real-world problems one step at a time.
we have... I'm pretty sure that was Revelation. I think we're the new prophets.
Ooh. Why, anyway. Yeah, why aren't we prophets? We should have, like, self-titled ourselves. We didn't do any of that. We are now prophets of the podcast.
Prophets of this podcast. All things that happen within this podcast are, you know... I mean, you can have your own personal revelation while you listen to this, but as long as it doesn't contradict what we've already set forth.
Yeah. So if you think that bears, sex, semen, cups aren't a thing, you're wrong because...
You're wrong because they're a thing.
Because I feel it.
Oh, I definitely feel it. I feel it way deep down.
Go ahead.
Talking about way deep down.
Oh, God.
So remember the FLDS? How they are way deep down, and maybe that, okay, so that might not have translated very well, but they
you
are
mean
way
deep
down.
In the heart of Texas.
God, get me the fuck out of here. But there is more news from the FLDS Church. Their top leaders have been arrested on accusations of food stamp fraud and money laundering.
Nice.
So, I mean, this is okay. Mashable.com, food stamp fraud. Article, and it just gets me, like, how did they get food stamps in the first place? Plus, these are probably the same people who are like, big government's bad. So there you go.
Yeah, it's sad that they need food stamps because the society that they've built is so, it's deteriorated so much that, like, they don't produce anything except kids and
genetically deficient kids.
So they are the true welfare queens, you know?
With, like, many queens to one king.
Yeah.
Though, and by queen, we mean, like, almost homeless person.
But they're essentially, like, a little mafia. And, like, some of the polygamous cults in Utah are, like, legit mafia. FLDS,
dude.
Not so much, but although with this money laundering thing, like, maybe they're starting to do that stuff, too. I don't know.
Dude, fucking... I am related to through a family marriage to someone who left the Jeffs family.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Shit.
And he had to, so he is a member of the LDS church, not the FLDS church, but he had to be, his baptismal interview was with the Quorum of the 12. Like, he had to go to the Quorum of the 12.
Wait, that high up?
Yeah. Wow. He had to talk with one of the apostles before they would, like, let him. I'm pretty sure I remember. I could be making that up.
Well,
I think
no,
because
I know that they have
letter.
More stringent requirements for people coming from the breakoff groups because they don't want these small groups sending people to the mainstream church to kind of, like, infiltrate it. So they're really strict. So that totally is a thing.
Yeah. So what's interesting about it is I didn't realize. Like, I'd heard, like, oh yeah, he's from a polygamous family and he left his family so he could be with his with his wife. The wife, singular, and she's very nice. They're very nice. They have, like, a ton of fucking kids. Oh, it's sad. I actually shouldn't go on. But, like,
at least they're not in the cult. The cult,
right?
Cult.
Exactly. Like, especially since she's my aunt and she's a very nice person. But I just remember reading, like, an article on KSL about the Jeff's compound, and I guess they reached out to him. And they're like, so-and-so, and I'm like, what the fuck? Is that the same person?
Oh, wow.
This is the same person!
That's
is my
way
uncle!
To find out.
So I got to read about it, and I, like, had to message my parents, and I'm like, what the fuck? Is Uncle So-and-so, was he really one of the Jeffs? And they're like, yeah, you didn't.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, no one ever talked about it, because it's fucking crazy.
That's why they don't talk about it, because...
Yeah, exactly. No one talks about the really crazy shit.
Yep.
So, yeah. I guess the F in their name stands for something like fucking fraudulent fleecers fleeing from FBI. I credit to Ruben on that.
Alliteration is fun. Or
no,
I should say alliteration is awesome. And yeah, that's very much inspired by No Illusions.
Holy shit.
Continuing with the crazy, though. So we can't vet this. Like, we don't know it's a thing. But If it isn't, it's a damn good Poe. That Poe, right? That's the word?
Yeah, like yeah. The Poe's Law. Yeah. It's so good that it's a fake so good that it sounds real.
So Reddit, the ex-Mormon subreddit, someone posted a letter being sent to parents of BYUI students. And so backstory, I have friends that went to BYU Idaho because I'm going to not be mean. But they went to BYU Idaho.
Because they're stupid. They're fucking stupid or lazy. Maybe. And they got bad grades. That's why they went to BYU Idaho.
I didn't say that.
I said
it. Yeah. So, but they literally...
It's the prep school for BYU Provo.
Right? And they have curfew laws or rules. Like,
you can't fucking wear shorts.
You can't wear shorts on campus. You can't wear sweatpants. Like, the only reason you can be in gym clothes is if you're like on your way to the showers from PE or whatever. And they literally track your attendance like down to the week. Like, so BYU Provo kind of does that, but I would go home every other week and they didn't care because the bishop would be like, oh, you're going to church at home? It's like, yeah. And that's like end of story. But here you can get kicked out if you don't show up to church enough, even if you're fucking doing it at your parents' ward, you know, on the weekend.
Shit, dude. I forgot that this is posted by John DeLynn. John DeLynn posted this.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, I noticed. It's just reading it. John DeLynn is the one who posted this. I don't.
That adds some legitimacy because he probably got the email forwarded to him.
I should probably like see the actual paper letter before I'm like, yeah, that's real. But like John DeLynn is, I don't know.
He's pretty good at actually vetting this stuff. So,
well, he has so much credibility to lose that I don't feel like he would just make that shit up. But if he did, like, yeah, he should fucking lose credibility. That's stupid. Anyway.
So yeah, we're going to read through it real quick and just comment on how crazy it is.
So this fucking letter, it starts, "Dear parents and home bishop." So they sent it to the parents and the home bishop
and
of
bishop.
BYU Idaho student, which is obviously censored for privacy reasons.
Yeah.
It says, "We are writing to you concerning our church attendance policy for the YSA XXRD ward."
I like, wish it were the XXX ward.
What? Okay, so... Shit. That's the word we all dream of being in. So the only, as far as I'm concerned, the only like erd letter is or like number is 3, so it's the something like the something third ward. Like,
sweet.
You don't ever get like fucking, so there's
there's only one of 9 wards out there. It could be,
yeah. So we're narrowing it down, unless he like trimmed off an X, in which case damn, don't mislead us. So, in order to attend BYU Idaho, each student signed an agreement to regularly attend church in the ward in which his or her records reside. Now, stop there for a second. These are institutions that receive government grants.
Right.
And they have fucking policies like this. Right. That's absurd. And now, before anyone's like, well, you should just go somewhere else. Some people... That's their family has been told, like, you have to go there. There's a lot more pressure going into, like, you have to go there than there is to go somewhere else. So it's not as simple as just, like, go somewhere else. And well, I think you get that more from believing members who are like, you don't like it, you can fucking leave.
Well, when you're going to BYU Idaho, you can't really go anywhere else.
UVU will take you.
Hey, UVU is actually doing a pretty good job at
my elitism is showing. I know I'm being elitist here. So they continue. "We've been asked by our stake presidency to form a policy that will hold our students and us as a bishopric accountable for attending church throughout the semester. The policy we created is designed to promote spiritual strength and living in accordance with the church education system honor code."
So it came from the stake presidency, which means this probably is a stakewide initiative.
Right. So that's at least like 10 wards, right? Yeah. In these student stakes, it's like 10 wards full of like hormonal people who really just need to go get laid.
That's why it's the triple X ward.
The right? Triple X ward. Only behind closed doors.
Well, because so you do the Mormon soaking thing. And
I have never heard of that until I left. Like, who does that?
People who weren't as faithful as you were.
I gotta be honest, I was a very good Mormon. I was a super
Me too,
fucking
man.
Good Mormon.
Usually, those of us who leave were.
Yeah.
But there's a great comic on the internet where it says God's a T-Rex, and it has two Mormons in bed soaking. And so soaking's where you just stick the penis in the vagina and sit there with no movement. And that's why it's okay, because God can't see it, because he's a T-Rex.
That does... Okay, so there's no movement. I got it. I just got it. There's no movement. So, okay, I understand now. Okay.
Good stuff. So the letter continues. It says, we have informed each student in the ward of our policy in order to avoid misunderstanding and miscommunication. The policy is included below. So there's three bullet points. Students may miss a maximum of 3 Sundays aside from major holiday weekends.
Jesus Christ, is this a minimum wage job?
I know, right?
Is this a fucking minimum wage job? You can't miss... Oh my God.
And then we get to the punitive measures. Upon missing a second Sunday, the stake presidency the stake presidency has asked that we send a letter informing the student's home bishop and parents of the student's absences and ask for help in encouraging the student to faithfully attend their church meetings. Can you imagine if you're a bishop that got this letter and you're like looking at this guy who comes and attends your ward every week and he's getting in trouble for it? You're going to be like, what the fuck? Like, they're here. What's wrong?
You got to observe the order of things.
And upon the third absence, the student will be asked to meet with the bishop and will be informed that if another absence is reached, his or her endorsement to attend BYU Idaho will be revoked, and he will or she will be sent home and unable to finish out the end of the semester.
At least they were politically correct about it, right?
That's three absences in one semester.
Three strikes rule, man. Three strikes.
A semester is what, like 12 weeks?
It's like a fucking minimum wage job. I'm not even kidding you. Like when I was a cashier at a fucking grocery store. We had a more lenient miss policy than this. Oh my God.
It's ridiculous. Wow.
So they continue, as always, we understand that some students may be under very difficult circumstances and may need certain exceptions. We've encouraged students to come meet with us and work such situations out with us ahead of time. So the last thing we want is to be unfair in any circumstances that merit such attention. You don't want to be unfair? Don't require people to fucking attend your stupid church.
Well, for me, this feels like, you know how some states require any sort of welfare recipients to, like, take a drug test?
Yeah.
This feels like the same thing to me, where they're, like, just hampering the ability of the 99.9% of people who are, like, just fine and dandy and just, like, go home because they love their family, just to catch that one person who skips out every couple weeks.
Yeah.
And it's overkill. Absolute overkill.
Well, these people are... I mean, the quote at the end is what kills me. So, they go on, they said, we as a bishopric do not like sending students home. They're like, no, we don't like being the bad cop, except that they're writing this fucking letter. And would much rather enjoy the company in the exerd ward. However, both we and your student have committed and have the commitment and the obligation to the Lord, this university, and those who fund it, to encourage Sunday attendance.
It's so fucking pharisaical.
Oh my God.
It's letter of the law, not spirit of the law.
We hope you understand and are willing to support your son or daughter in their commitment to the university. Finally, we would like to end with a thought shared by Elder L. Tom Perry in his last conference address. And here's the thing that makes me just like shit my pants in rage. People are not better off when they are given maximum personal freedom to do what they want. They're better off when they are enshrouded in commitments that transcend personal choice. Commitments to family, God, craft, and country. What the fuck, man? This is communism-level bullshit. Like, total, like, Joseph Stalin-level bullshit. Are you serious right now?
Hey, at least he put God second in that list. That's kind of impressive.
I don't give a fuck. To them, family is God. And that means staying in families that are abusive or families that are not in your best interest. Sometimes you gotta draw lines.
That quote just genuinely is scary.
I have to go, like, clean my pants out now. Like, I need some toilet paper and some wipies because I have just, like, shat myself in rage.
Well, that's just so, like, a lot of Mormons are like, oh, I'm libertarian. I'm a conservative.
No,
I like
not.
Small
you're...
government who lets people do what they want. But then they fucking live in an authoritarianism religion. And
I know, this is fascism. This is straight up fascism. This is the...
Yep.
If Utah was a nation, which they pretty much kind of treat it like it is, they're like, oh yeah, family, God, and country, right? And craft, for whatever fucking reason, he's like, yeah, be good at your craft, which his craft is lying to people to tell them that they have to do better at their family, God, and country.
Is Trump winning Utah?
Honestly, I can't engage in that right now. I will have a stroke.
Because they're used to that kind of structure where it's like, I tell the truth, even though it's not reality, and this is how it is, and this is what we're going to do, and we got to kill the people who aren't like us. So, yeah, it's a good match.
So, okay. I'm trying to figure out when the Utah primary is, or the Utah, it looks like we hold a caucus, a big throbbing caucus. March 22nd.
We'll know then.
We'll know then if they vote for fucking Trump. They're going to do that. You know they're going to vote for Trump. Or they're going to vote they're probably going to vote for Rubio because he was Mormon once.
No, that's a reason not to vote for him because he's an apostate.
See, I don't think they care if you're famous enough. They're like, I don't care. They used to be Mormon and that's good enough for me. Like, I feel like Brandon Flowers doesn't give a shit about the church. I'm just saying, like, Brandon Flowers doesn't give a shit about the church. Like, he's like, he True. Named his kids, like, Moroni or whatever the fuck. Like, he named his kids, like, Book of Mormon.
Wait, he went that
names.
Far?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure, like, I can't believe I'm about to Google this. Brandon Flowers' kids' names. What is my life now? Okay, so he has one son named Ammon, and then he's got Gunner and Henry.
Okay.
Gunner Flowers, Henry Flowers, and Ammon Flowers. So he's got one who's named Ammon because he cut arms off and he was a badass.
Yeah, Ammon's the best.
But that's as far as we go. Oh my god. So our next... I can't talk about this anymore. I cannot get any more, like, waste out of my bowels from this story. Like, I am full... My diaper is full. I have to wear a diaper when I do this show.
All right. Well, I'll tackle this one. You know how I am.
About the garments? You're all about the garments. You fucking love those garments.
So we have a quick public service announcement. The Mormon Church is now offering new garment options for women. Fans of MormonGirls.com can look forward to new episodes featuring the new sexier cuts.
So... When they say new sexier cuts, do they mean like hijabs and burqas? Is that what they're doing?
No, this one actually, one of the new bottoms manages to get a little bit below your belly button. So no more granny panties, baby.
You're shitting me. No, are you serious?
They're called the lower waist garment bottoms, and they are, quote, designed to sit just above the high hip.
Oh my god.
How the fuck is that low cut? Like lower waist cut?
Oh my god, garments are the worst thing. They're the worst thing. Okay, I gotta be honest though, tucking them in, I missed tucking my tops into my bottom.
I did not do that because I was like, I don't want my top touching my bottom junks.
That's silly.
I'm a germaphobe, because... so
what do you do with the front of your shirt? Like, at the very bottom, do you suck on that? Like, what do you...
No,
you
but...
put it on your food?
But when,
like,
you, know,
you get
when
some
you...
food and you rub it on your food?
No. Well, actually... No. Sometimes bottoms of shirts are good for, like, cleaning glasses or, you know... Especially the garment material. Sometimes, depending on the type you buy, it's really good glasses cleaner. But no, it's just that, like, you know, when you go to pee, you kind of untuck your shirt, and I don't want to be touching... fabric
Dude,
that's touched my junk.
They have a special little pee slot for your dick. You just pull it out.
I never liked using those.
Oh, I don't like using... Oh, no wonder you quit the church. You're just a quitter. You
oh
just
my
quit.
God, now we're talking about my peeing habits. This is the worst show ever. So now you all think I'm a Mormon girls watching, like, pee fanatic.
I'd be disappointed if you weren't.
there's also another there. So there's one new top that's called the square neck garment top, and I think they made that one to help Mormon women look just as square as they act.
Oh, fucking burn. Well, okay, so
be on the watch for
I
those.
Just need to know personally, just so that I don't have any impure thoughts in public because of walking pornography. Do they all cover their shoulder?
Yeah, the shoulder lengths, I don't think were altered at all.
Well, then thank Heavenly Father, because I was so worried that I would have to end up looking at women's shoulders, women I am not married to, and the...
Yeah, dude, and collarbones, like the...
Oh my God, man.
How far the collarbone sticks out is like proportional to how hard my penis gets.
Dude, seriously, I think there's actually a scientific theorem that represents like they are directly correlated.
So yeah, that won't change, thankfully. It's just That's so that good. They can...
God, I love me some fucking collarbone.
They can wear square-shaped cut shirts.
Oh my God, this
I don't
is
know.
Absurd.
I don't know.
What the hell is this? What am I even looking at? What am I reading right now? I'm on the LDS Living webpage where they have a fucking article about a gamer creating a detailed Minecraft version of the Salt Lake
Temple. Oh, I saw that.
Where there's like a fucking Steve Harvey talk show cuts out LDS Taylor Swift's, I don't fucking know what this is, comments about when God spoke to her on Cyberboy. I don't, what is this? What is this drivel? This is the worst magazine I've ever seen in my life. It's irrelevant.
Yep.
You're picking up the dumbest bullshit I've ever seen and making a magazine out of it. Go fuck yourselves. Get a real job. Jesus.
Hey, now, we kind of do the same thing. We pick up a bunch of bullshit and just
put
it out
there. But I have a real job! Ruben, I have a real job!
Oh,
I go to
man.
Work. I don't write stupid, irrelevant articles that I make fun of later on the podcast.
But if you could for money, would you?
Write stupid articles about LDS culture?
Mm-hmm.
I would rather die.
Even for money?
I would rather die in a suicide pact with a gay LDS teen.
Oh God, that was dark. What the fuck, man?
Maybe you should cut
oh
that
my
out.
God, no, that's staying in.
Oh no!
Jesus.
To any gay LDS teens that may be listening, please don't hurt yourself.
No, don't.
You're important, and I'm serious when I say that the problem is not you. It is the church that has rejected you.
Yeah.
You are not the problem.
You were fine.
You were never the problem.
Elton John
You're
created
okay.
you in the ocean just to be who you are.
Yeah, Elton John stepped in the fucking Pacific, or the Atlantic, because it's Britain. But seriously, in all seriousness, you're not the problem.
No,
the church is the problem.
Not at all.
Bednar's the problem. You're not the problem. Please don't take your own life.
Yeah, we're actually
you
right now we're going to show you just how much we are on your side with this next story. So, a gay couple, married, raising 5 children, were suddenly told to get the fuck out of the LDS church by a hardware store employee who came and knocked on their door twice.
So this is what I am just, I'm imagining at this point. So, what's the character? It's
this could
on
be the start
Parson.
To a porno.
Parson.
Is that what you're going for?
No, that's not what I was going for. I'm not going to even go that way. So what is the name
Ron.
Of the... Nick Offerman plays
Yeah, Ron,
him in
right?
Parkson.
No, not Ron.
Ron Swanson, that's
yeah, Ron
right.
Swanson.
I can't believe I forgot that. I need to go repent
you do.
For forgetting that.
Me too.
But when Ron Swanson's in the fucking hardware store and he's like, and the person asks him, hey, can I help you? And so he's like, I know more than you. I feel like this gay married couple could probably say the same thing to this hardware store employee.
Absolutely.
As Ron Swanson did. Because what the fuck, dude? Back off.
Yeah, oh, so the two women man. Hadn't even attended church in over a decade. And all of a sudden, they were singled out by the local ward because they provided a stable home to a good handful of children, but they had an improper vagina to penis ratio.
God, I hate it when that happens.
It's a problem, and because sometimes like the vagina is really deep and the penis is really short, and you miss the cutoff ratio for like happiness, and the Mormon Church goes around measuring those.
Right.
And so that's actually the real problem with gay people. It happens to heterosexuals as well, if you're on the edges.
Yeah, if you hit that fringe area, you're in trouble. Because, like, if your penis is, like, it's like a tiny clit, then you're going to have an issue. Like, they're going to... So if you have a letter in your temple recommend number, that means that you did not make the cut.
Oh, I should go check my number.
I do. I had...
Yeah, it's all based around the
golden
ratio.
That's how I know that. That's how I know that.
But yeah, it's all based around the golden ratio. And so...
the golden mean... Did Donald Duck, like, show up? Does Donald Duck show up in a video and, like, young men's and young women's and explain it?
You mean Scrooge McDuck?
He's... oh, no! Okay, I'm gonna stop there.
Because so God set up mathematics, and the golden ratio is that one ratio that is perfect. And so that's how making babies in heaven works. So it's not necessarily that being gay is bad. It's just that the vagina and penis have to be about the same length to make it work.
True story, man. True story.
It's such a tangent, but yeah.
Anyway.
And it also hurts if like the vagina is too shallow and the penis is too long. Hurts both parties.
You're just kind of knocking on the cervix. That's bad news. Yeah. But like, I never thought I would say that in my life. I never thought I would say that thing that I just said. In my whole life, and I'm going to move on. So here's the thing that kind of bothers me is that they hadn't gone to church in a decade, right?
Yeah.
And suddenly the local ward's like, nah, I'm going to make your life my business. And that's the biggest problem with like fundamentalist religions is that suddenly they know better about how your life should go than you do.
It's literally a gay witch hunt.
Yeah, especially since these are two women, which is terrible. That they would decide to single them out because they're providing a home for children, which is more than most of these dumbass bigots would do for any child that they encountered on the street.
Right. Like, I'm assuming these aren't the women's children. They could be, but in general.
I mean, that's just impressive, though.
We have a fucking ton of orphans just sitting around, not having a great life. The gays are the ones that are doing more than, like, any other group of people to, like, give those people homes, and everyone's like, no, that's evil!
You get judges taking them away from the gay, but then that judge resigned.
Yep.
I think we covered that already.
We did.
Anyway. So what's funny is that if you continue on thinking about the way that the LDS Church treats gays or people who are different, is that they... So, gays are part of a protected class.
Yes.
Right? You can't discriminate...
In some states.
Well, you can't discriminate against them and then some other certain protected classes. And I'm going to say Senator Steve Urquhart of St. George, he did his damnedest to protect groups from hate discrimination and hate crimes. He did his damnedest, but guess who shut the bill down to curtail hate crimes? Guess who did that?
Was it the Mormon Church?
Okay, you know what? Yeah, it was.
Oh, I can't believe I got that right. Oh my God!
It died. Okay, so Senate Bill 107 died in a 17-11 vote in the Utah Senate. And what's funny is that he kept trying to, so it's an anti-gay hate crime law, right?
Right.
And it was being debated, and they just...
It's essentially, they're scared that it will, like, strip them of their religious freedom.
This is the thing that kills me, is that your religious freedom does not get to the point where you get to bully and attack mentally and emotionally people who are different than you. That is not religious liberty. That's fucking criminal.
If it were, we would still be discriminating against black people.
According to the Mormon doctrine, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah,
like, we would.
When you can like look back in time and see religion saying, oh, you can't make that law because it's against our religion, and then move forward now, like in 30 years, gays aren't going to be a problem for religion because they'll have lost that battle and just given in, just as black people... Being human is not an issue for most people today, except Donald Trump and his friends. But yeah.
Oh my God, don't even get me started on that. Don't even get me.
I'm trying to pull him in.
Don't do it, man. Don't do it.
Make Donald Trump again.
Bring fascism to the world again.
And the best part is this bill is sponsored by a Republican Mormon. Like, he's fighting his church, which is awesome.
What? Good for you, man. Like, I'm totally with you on this. And so my biggest thing about this is this just lays bare that churches and fundamentalist religions are more interested in preserving their existence as an organization and their belief structure than they are about creating an equal society. They're not worried about everybody living a happy life. They're worried about their in-group living a happy life. And what that means for the rest of us is that we can't move to that place, that egalitarian place, where all of us are equals and we're working for a better future, because we're busy squabbling over whether or not people can commit hate crimes and discriminate against people who are different from them old book told them so.
Whoa, that sounds like socialism. Don't even go there. What are you doing?
Feel the burn, motherfucker. God, I'm just so tired of hearing these organizations that are run by fucking baby boomers.
Yeah, it's always by the oldest people.
They just need to die. They just need to die and take their antiquated notions with them.
They're working on it. Millennials make up about 33% of the workforce now. Woo!
Jesus, and we're all being shafted because, first off, the fucking baby boomers just fucked the markets over and whatever, but I won't get into that too much because I'm sure like half of the people listening to this, so two people disagree with me. And like, I don't know. I'm just saying that the world will be a better place when it's more equal and when there's a level playing field and we can stop worrying about who is more important than who and start worrying about how we continue on as a species together.
Yes.
I'm just saying that. That's what I'm saying. That's the position I advocate, and that the church is an obstacle to that.
I absolutely agree. There's a fine difference between discriminating and tolerating, and the Mormon Church, for one, has not figured that out.
No,
they even condemn toleration.
They won't.
They think the toleration is that you have to like approve of what someone's doing.
Well, in their mind, they have to. Like, you have to make a fucking law that they'll lose money first, and they'll lose money or property, something of value, right? Something that is an asset on their fucking balance sheet before they will give a second thought to like civil liberties.
Ooh, kind of. I mean, this is like a really small part of their revenue system, but Amazon has a charity program called Amazon Smile, and recently the LDS Church was disqualified from participating in that. No one really knows why, but I'm assuming it's because they're bigoted against gay people. But, yeah.
Well, it's probably because they're not really a charity. Right? They're a fucking business with a charity qualification on them.
It's starting.
God, they should be taxed. They should fucking be taxed.
Oh, man.
And they like to tout their fucking welfare system as bullshit, man. They don't provide for anybody but their own. And they don't even provide that much because you're expected to pay everything you get back in tithing anyway.
This is totally made up, but if we taxed all the churches, I think we could like break even on our
on the deficit and like on the debt and shit. Yeah,
in like a year.
I think we could probably pay it down. Have you seen some of these mega churches?
Yeah,
dude, just like the Mormon Church. That's like if you just like broke that down and sold it off, I bet we could pay down like. Oh wait, no, the deficit's pretty big. But
yeah,
like we could at least
big.
we could fund Planned Parenthood for like indefinitely.
We could definitely.
Man. So anyway,
things are fucked up.
So let's end on like a nicer thing, is the creative writing, the creative and witty writing of a very nice person who I do not know who
this is amazing.
Who reviewed the Book of Mormon Kindle Edition.
Yeah, so the church recently published like their version, and so people have been reviewing it all over. Even like wards are like, go give it a 5-star review, which you aren't really supposed to like tell people to do.
Absolutely not. No, that's not even how the system's supposed to work.
But if you go look at the page, it's just search the Book of Mormon and look at the Kindle version published by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's the top like featured review. It's a 3-star rating.
Nice. So it starts off somewhat, the title is Pay to Play, and the review says, somewhat addictive game at first, decent sequel to the other studio's game Heaven Total War. All my friends and family play all the time, but I eventually stopped playing after 28 years. I've heard World of Warcraft is better, and to that I say Diablo 3 is better.
I still need to play that.
It's really fun. And it's not as like hokey as World of Warcraft, but people who are like super WoW enthusiasts will disagree with me. But you know, that's actually a polemic thing. I will debate with you. So send in your feedback, and we can talk about it.
Well, it's just like how Mormons think that their way of life is living better than yours, and
yeah, except I'm right at this point.
Exactly, but you're also right about Diablo 3. So
no, actually, I don't give that much. I don't care that much, so I might not write you back. But continuing the review. For those who have never played before, you start by creating a new character. You can only choose between straight male or female characters. The race selection is very limited. Update, more races added beginning with patch V1978. Along with race, some stats and options might be limited depending on your last score in Heaven Total War. These might include starting location, initial gold amount, upgrade path, clan size, etc. Hint, males tend to have a much better upgrade path. Oh my god, this person has captured just like the systematic sexism and misogyny in the church and the racism in like one paragraph without using any of those words. And to that, I applaud you.
He goes on to say, once you've created your new character, you are automatically assigned to a clan and you start at level 0. The first part of the game is somewhat boring. Mostly, you just follow your clan around and slowly level up by performing repetitive tasks, reading passages from a few select scrolls, and reciting incantations every morning and night. Like, this is like the epitome of role-playing games. He's nailed it. He has fucking
except
nailed
at the
it.
End of this one, you don't get anything. You just die.
He continues, once you reach this level 8, one of the high-level village males will offer to perform a spell on you and make you an official village member. Note, this is a big commitment that will affect the outcome of the rest of the game and could cost a lot of gold. At this point, you're still a noob and probably have no idea what's going on, but you should accept anyway because that's the only way to continue playing.
So he keeps going, for male characters, at level 12, you become a magician. And I think I was a magician for a different reason at 12. Like,
well,
yes,
it's when
I
you when you discover your wand.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I discovered my wand, and damn if I didn't perform some great spells with it. So, following it says, and at level 14, you become a wizard. At level 16, you become a mage and receive the ability to add new village members. Finally, at level 18, you become a warlock if your stats are good enough. At each level, you gain new abilities. Female characters can level up similarly, but won't receive new abilities, nor can they perform spells of any kind. And here's his hint. Hint, you can get a bit of a head start by choosing to import a character instead of creating one. Two existing players will be assigned to guide you through some character modifications before you can join. You'll need to dump any health, stamina, and mana potions because those are disallowed, and chances are you'll need to buy new armor. You'll also have to commit to recurring in-game purchase. Note that the game doesn't work in every region, so characters from certain countries cannot be imported.
Hey, they're working on patching those regions.
Bullshit!
And once China is patched, it will be the greatest game in the world!
They've been saying that for 3 decades, since the fucking 80s. That's 40 years! You
Holy
realize
shit,
that's
40
years. 40
years?
The 80s was 40 years ago. Almost.
God damn it, I'm getting old.
35 fucking years ago. Oh man.
He continues. Anyway,
I'm an old thing.
Anyway, the game has a few primary quests. The first quest, in my opinion, is sort of a marketing gimmick added by the creator to popularize the game. It's not required, but if you're a male character, then you'll lose most of your charm points if you don't do it. You can start at level 18, which... it's level 19 for female characters. Before accepting the quest, you must first obtain sweaty armor by performing the finger dance of bestowal at a covered shrine.
Jesus fuck, that's amazing.
Once you accept the quest, you will be transported to a random location on the map where you will help onboard other players and aid character imports. There's a timer, so you'll have to work fast. The more imports you have, the higher your charisma. The higher your charisma, the easier it will be to complete the second quest. When the timer runs out, you will automatically be bumped to level 2 and will teleport back to your clan.
At any point after the main main the first quest, so I think some of this,
like, he had a typo.
He or she was typing this too quickly, but, you know. you know, an uneducated farm person could have written this.
Hey, done is better than perfect.
Right?
That's my mantra.
At any point during the main quest, a main first quest, you can begin your second quest, which is to build your own clan. You'll need several players to accomplish this. Exactly one character, male character, and one or more female characters. Update, as of patch 1890, you must have exactly one male and one female character. The higher your charisma, the easier it is to locate compatible characters. Be quick, though. Each new level drops your charisma, and after level 25, it's nearly impossible to find a match. Oh my god! Each character will have to have obtained sweaty armor. They can come in square neck cuts now.
Yes!
And low cut on little over your hip. And regardless of whether or not they have completed the first quest, the characters must gather for a ceremony at the covered shrine, where they will then obtain a clan seal. Other players may be present at the seminary, but or at the ceremony. Seminary, that was a Freudian slip. But only if they have the sweaty armor. I just can't.
I love that it's sweaty armor.
The sweaty armor. Holy shit! Okay.
The second quest is the longest quest of the game, and the goal is to expand the size of your clan as much as possible before reaching level 50. I won't tell you how to add new clan members because it's a spoiler, but keep in mind that having a clan constantly drains both your gold and health. The larger your clan becomes, the higher the drain and the more side quests you'll need to do in order to obtain gold. As mentioned before,
you might have to join up with new skin. The new skin guild.
Yes. Oh, that's when you sell out and you just like hate yourself, but you're like, I gotta do it because they're gonna help me get to the next level.
Oh my god, why? This is such a futile Okay.
As mentioned before, stamina potions are not allowed, so you can only recover stamina through sleep. Sleep duration.
He's talking about alcohol. I just got it. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I just got it, too. Thank you.
Holy shit.
We're idiots if you all haven't figured that out. Sleep duration
you're
effectiveness
an idiot for
decrease
if
with
you're
clan
listening
size.
To this, you're an idiot.
Oh, no. We already have a tiny user base. Come back, people. Come back.
I'm sorry. No, come back.
We love
I
you.
I didn't.
Sleep duration. Sleep duration and effectiveness decrease with clan size. At some point during your quest, you'll likely be able to upgrade your male character to an archmage.
Fucking...
Once you hit level 50, or once all your clan members have created their own clans, you can start the third quest. It's essentially the same as the first quest, but with a relaxed timer and fewer responsibilities. If you're better than most players and you have really high stats, you become a quest master and get to control a portion of the map, including players in their first or third quests. Quest masters get free gold and level up very quickly.
If your stats aren't very high after the third quest, the game gets very boring quickly. Unlike other games in this genre, when you hit your max level, the server will boot you and you'll have to wait till the next game to be released. However, if you have super high stats, then things get interesting. The game maintainers might give you more quests and grant you extra abilities. If you're the best of the best, you might even become a maintainer when one of them quits. At that point, you'll have the ability to control all the gold in the game and rewrite some of the rules if Ooh. You want to. I'm only giving this game 3 stars because while it can be entertaining at times, it does have some serious flaws. First of all, the original game creator is a douchebag. They don't tell you these things in the game, and you have to research them yourself. But this guy isn't what most players think he is. Seriously, look him up. He's half the reason I stopped playing. Also, the maintainers seem to be out of touch with the player base and always seem to be making the worst policies, some of which are seriously harmful. And I somehow think they're not, and somehow they think they're not part of the problem. It can be very toxic at times. The storyline is all over the place and doesn't make much sense when you think about it rationally, despite the maintainers' sorry attempts to clarify things. Some parts of the game seem useless. For example, all players are required to gather every week in their villages, where high-level characters will repeat the game's instructions over and over to point out players' low stats. There are several unpatched bugs as well. The game will crash if you attempt to obtain a clan seal using two males or two females. It also refuses to import characters whose clans are headed by two males or two females.
Apparently, you might get kicked out, too, if you don't show up to these meetings.
If you're in the Mage's College, right?
If you miss it three times in one season, you'll get kicked out, probably.
Yeah, you'll get kicked. Well, serves you right, you dick.
Yeah.
Or you vagina. I don't discriminate.
Lastly, so, although it's free to play, you have to pay to win. I hate, God, I hate those just, games.
That's how they all go.
This is the worst. I played every day for 28 years, and I had to spend about 10% of my gold on in-game purchases just to get anywhere. You can't access the covered shrines or complete most of the quests without these regular purchases. It's just insane. I've met other players who have quit. Some of them have gone on to play different games, but I find that many like myself are so disillusioned with the game that we've given up games entirely. It's been difficult, but I am much happier now. For anyone considering this game, please take the time to do some honest research before you commit your life and money.
To whoever wrote this, bravo.
That was amazing.
This is amazing, and I super appreciate
this. I'm going to be pissed when it gets like taken down by Amazon because someone reported it enough times. Like,
of course they're gonna have like an entire ward like do a reporting
campaign. Yeah.
Like, you got to get on there. You got to report the people who are reviewing the Book of Mormon negatively. Because the only other people who are going to do that are the evangelicals. I don't know. I work with some evangelicals. They're very interesting. And I proselyted to a lot of evangelicals on my mission, and they were all assholes too. So, I mean, it helps that I was an asshole.
There's also one right below it on the top reviews, and it's a 5-star by Korahor.
Oh, no!
We have to read this. It says,
oh, no! I got to get there. Hold on. I got to see. I got to read this, too. Oh my god. Oh my god. Are you serious? I gotta get it. Okay, so Amazon.com. This is better than looking up Brandon Flowers' kids' names. I mean, that's kind of. That was just. Okay, I'll do better.
It's titled, "You Won't Find a More Sophisticated Blend of Frontier Fiction and 19th Century Methodist Theology." You there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
It says, "Follow a band of courageous seafaring Israelites from 600 BC as they escape Jerusalem. Rescue transcripts of Isaiah that were not even written yet, and cross the ocean to land in America. You'll be dazzled by their advanced modern Christian theology and their advanced metallurgy, crops, and livestock that would not exist in the Americas until the Spaniards came. Follow along as they fight for hundreds of years with their dark-skinned rivals who were cursed by God, using their amazing biodegradable disappearing steel swords and breastplates. You'll thrill with suspense as white American Jesus visits them and recites verbatim portions of Matthew from the King James translation of the future. Your heart will break as these massive civilizations come to an end and disappear from the archaeological and genetic record without a trace."
Korahor, I love you. Oh my god, yes! Okay, so did you listen to the episode of My Book of Mormon where David Michael reads about Korahor?
Yes.
Oh man, it's so good.
That's a good
show. So I just read the things at the bottom.
Yeah, read the things at the bottom.
Oh no! It's okay. So these are like one or two word like reviews
for the back of the cover, obviously.
Yeah. Riveting, says Paint Drying Watchers Quarterly. Morally empowering, the KKK. Logically unassailable, Ancient Aliens Guy. Historically proven, Ben Carson. That's amazing. Ben Carson's a fucking crazy person. That's why it's funny. Okay.
Such good stuff.
So here's my favorite review. Is actually one below that. Unethical behavior, beware a 5-star review. And it says, I don't think this person's actually a member of the church, but if he or she is, I appreciate what they're saying.
I think they are. They're one of the good ones.
I am a member of the church, of the Mormon church, and was instructed to write a positive review to bolster numbers. I do not agree with this sort of unethical behavior, and my ratings will reflect this. They gave 1 star to the Book of Mormon.
Whoa, boy. They're going to hell for that.
Yeah, and then the next one is Nephi, Xenu, and Frodo walk into a bar. Just kidding, Frodo's the only believable character listed. Oh, no! Oh, no!
Oh, man.
Oh, and then Missy Bissy! Oh, this is great! The play was much better. She says, I was so disappointed I saw the musical, and they told me to read the book. First of all, there were no frogs. I expected frogs. I mean, really, the frogs were the best part of the musical!
The magical also, the... fuck frogs.
Also, the Angel Moroni didn't come down from the Starship Enterprise, and I was looking for more information on Jeff Smith dying from dysentery. I didn't find it. I think I also need to have a tech talk with Elder Cunningham. Oh, no. I am so happy with all the one-star fucking reviews on it's this amazing. Stupid book that I wasted 20 years of my life on. Fuck you!
So, yeah, we've essentially turned into a show that just reads internet things.
We do it so you don't have
yeah,
to
listen. Yeah, exactly. No,
we
yeah.
have your best interests in
I've
mind.
I've thought about adding something to the intro that's like the podcast that researches current events and Mormonism so you don't have to. Maybe we'll be fancy like that someday. But
I don't know, man. That seems like some effort.
I know, right?
Fucking puts effort.
So, yeah, that's the show.
I've literally worked 60 hours this week. I'm fucking
fuck,
done,
man. Yeah, that's I told you we'd keep it short, and we're like over an hour now.
That's okay. It was a good. It was a fun conversation to have. Oh my god, that review.
No listener feedback.
I don't
this
regret
week.
A single line that we read. I don't regret any of it.
Yeah, excellent stuff this week. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, tell all your friends about us. Okay.
Tell your parents, tell your grandparents, have them listen, that you can be ostracized just like I was.
Oh, I will be on an episode of the Utah Outcast podcast.
I will not be because I'm going to work another 70 hours next week.
Which is fine, and you don't listen to their podcast anyway. So
Honestly, I don't. Sorry.
But they have
to.
A really it's fun podcast. They, if you're interested in what the goings on of Utah,
I fucking want to forget Utah.
The rest of the world, they tackle all those issues with an atheistic spin, and it's a fun group of people.
Oh shit!
So I'll be on the next episode coming up. Levi, you better listen to that one at the very, very least.
Are you gonna do the commitment pattern?
Yeah,
no, I'm not going to do it unless you do the commitment pattern.
I actually don't remember it, which is great because
are you serious?
I'm starting to leave Mormonism behind, bitch.
Oh, no! What? You apostate son of a
I know, right? Oh. Man, it could just be the alcohol on me because I had some homemade cider.
Oh my god! Gracias,
Naomi and Ruth, which is great shit.
They made ciders. Those Brewsters. They made some cider. And I am fucking drunk.
I had a beer and I had a whiskey. And so the commitment pattern escapes me. I assume it's like, make them say they'll do it. And then check to see if they did it.
And then you touch each other's penises. And then, no, wait, no, that's not the right one.
I like that one, though. That's a better one.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah,
but
you
at least
do sword fighting. It's
and
great.
You know what happens if you're gay and Mormon. So
sword fighting's fun, guys.
I've actually never sword fought, never actually planned on it. So I'm gonna
You
pass.
never peed together with your brothers and it's just cross the streams like in Ghostbusters?
No, I was afraid of causing like interdimensional strife.
God
so
damn it, my family
that.
Was weird, I guess. I fucking peed with my brothers?
That explains it.
Jesus Christ.
No.
Alcohol is just... an enlightening substance. I fuck.
Oh no!
What?
Oh no!
Sit. And nobody who knows me in real life better find this podcast. And I probably dropped too many hints to people. Jesus.
You should probably just cut all of that. Just cut it all and just pretend it never
I'm not gonna, because. Because, well, that's more work for me to cut shit.
You're too lazy to protect your.
Let's just do the outro before I get myself into any more trouble, because I always get myself into trouble.
All right. Well,
I will keep you all updated on the Mormon Girls website to see if the new garments show up.
Oh my God, why?
That's a joke that.
Oh no!
A half joke.
He's gonna do it.
Hey, Ruth and I enjoy a good Mormon Girls episode every once in a while, you know? Just saying. I'm just saying.
That's okay. It's fine if that's what you're
Read the doing. Fucking outro.
So you can find us on the web. You can find us on the web at FlyingSpaghettiMormon.com. You can follow us on Twitter at FS Mormon Podcast, or you can look for us on Facebook. Also, you can email us at feedback@FlyingSpaghettiMormon.com. Also, if you enjoyed the show, we'd love a 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. And remember, you can leave a podcast, but you can't leave it alone, just like Ruben with MormonGirls.com.
Hey, that's our new Julie Rowe thing. It just has to come up every time.
Okay.
See you next time. Oh my God.
Please note that the views expressed in this podcast are those of those expressing those views on this podcast, and only theirs. Just them. And no one else. Not their employers, or their dogs, or anyone.